USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We've been booming. Absolutely booming.
It's Tax Day 2019, and National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow says Americans have a lot to be thankful for.
The economy's growing. Unemployment is down. Blue-collar wage earners are growing faster than their white-collar counterparts.
Kudlow was speaking on Fox and Friends. Severe weather over the weekend leading to the deaths of at least 8 people in the South. Nearly 24 tornadoes reported in several states. There was some snow on the northern side of the system. It was recorded from Missouri into Michigan. Chicago got about 5 inches, the most for that city this late in the season since 1961. Some of that bad weather is now affecting the Northeast, including Boston, where runners from around the world have begun the 123rd Boston Marathon. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
The Democratic Speaker of the House says she can work with President Trump. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Nancy Pelosi says she sees an abundance of interest for bipartisan legislation on a number of issues. On CBS's 60 Minutes, Pelosi was asked about the president.
I think that there's nobody in the country who knows better that he should not be president of the United States than Donald Trump.
You think he knows it himself?
I think he does, you know. But I respect the office he holds, and he's not worth the trouble of saying, you're so horrible, we can't work together. No, we need to work together.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Tiger Woods still savoring his first Masters victory since 2005, and his 15th major win overall, second only to Jack Nicklaus, who's won 18 in his career. Today is Tax Day 2019, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Senate Democrat Cory Booker officially announced his presidential run on Saturday, and now the man they call Mayor Pete is formally launching his campaign as well. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg has become one of the leading contenders for the Democratic ticket. The 37-year-old becomes the youngest candidate in the crowded field and the first openly gay major presidential candidate. Polls in Iowa and New Hampshire last week showing him in third place behind the yet-to-announce Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Mayor Pete was a Navy reservist. He served in Afghanistan. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Around 30,000 runners have carbo-loaded and are ready to run the Boston Marathon in a few hours. One Afghanistan war veteran, who is now a double amputee, is among them. WBZ TV reporter Paul Burton is there.
I want people in Boston to understand that if I can do this, then they can do whatever challenge that they have in front of them.
Every step retired U.S. Army veteran Master Sergeant Cedric King takes, he knows, is for a deeper purpose.
Even though I was in a position where I lost legs, it didn't give me an excuse not to keep fighting, though.
The 42-year-old lost both of his legs after stepping on an improvised explosive device while serving in Afghanistan in 2012. 21 months later, he completed his first Boston Marathon, a year after the marathon bombings. Now he's back for another 26.2 miles and taking in a Red Sox game.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Okay, local weather here at Flemington and the surrounding area, 54 degrees out there right now. Looks like an advisory for heavy gusts of winds later on in the day. Highs could hit the mid-60s. It was raining this morning, probably going to rain a little bit again. Cloudy tonight, gradually clearing up. Lows in the mid to upper 30s. Sunny on Tuesday, high near 62. Slight chance of showers on Tuesday night. Lows will be in the 40s. Wednesday again, slight chance of showers with highs reaching the 60s. Thursday, cloudy, high in the upper 60s. Chance of rain again Thursday night. It looks like Friday, Saturday, with temperatures hitting 60s to 70s, down into the 50-degree range overnight, so it looks like rain right through the weekend. Hopefully we get some clearing up on Easter Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, here getting together on Monday mornings live and thereafter in our archives, podcast archives, right here in downtown Flemington. And some things at the table we try to, we cover sometimes techniques, recipes, trends, listening and reading the news. Another Salmonella outbreak in pre-cut fruit. And I know when we studied sanitation, and a lot of us relate salmonella to poultry. That's usually the big issue with cross-contamination, raw poultry. Make sure it's cooked. Make sure you sanitize after cutting raw poultry. Wash your hands. How does it get in fruit? You'd think fruit would be relatively safe from things, but apparently not. Melons being the culprit, and specifically cantaloupes seem to be the issue. And think of, fruit that grow on vines, bushes, trees, but then there's the melons, of course, are like a squash. They are on the ground. And because there is salmonella in the dirt, probably from fertilizer, and here's where even getting organic doesn't mean that you shouldn't wash the food. There was a study done, and they drew a conclusion from it, or at least a relationship, the rise in some foodborne illnesses and the rise in farmers markets where people are buying local, and the mindset might be, well, because it's grown locally and it's organic and, it's safe. I don't have to wash it, but you always have to wash because you don't know what's floating around the air. You know, things get in the food. So the melons, and it's not that the melons are bad to eat if you cut them fresh. Fresh cut fruit, what happens is the salmonella is on the outside of the melon. If you wash the melons, you know, you're going to rinse away any germs that might be there. The cantaloupes are difficult because of the rough outer shell. And, you know, washing cantaloupe, you know, you don't need to use boiling hot water, but you probably want to use, you know, at least good cold running water. I mean, there's probably just food service grade disinfectants that you could use. The main problem comes from cutting it too far ahead. So you think you've got the knife, you're cutting through the melon, you cut it in half to scoop out the seeds, but the outside of the knife has touched the outside, transferring to the inside. So there's a couple of ways around that. You can make your cut and then wash the knife before cutting further. Most people like to, you could cut wedges, and what we would do is cut the wedges and then with a smaller paring knife just take the flesh off the rind, just saw it off. Sometimes we'd present it on the rind, but just cut them into your little cubes. A real safe way to do it would be to use the little melon baller. Very easy. It looks like a really little tiny scoop with a hole in it. And we'll do oftentimes for fruit platters, we'll do this. We'll scoop the melons into little balls. So now you do have a little bit of flesh left over, which you can scrape out and use that in your mix. You know, if you're not a restaurant, you want to save all the pulp. But make the little melon balls, and then you're not risking cutting the inside with the knife that's touched the outside. So it could be one solution there. If you're a little worried about it, the main thing is to with I guess what happens is the cut fruit sits for a while, and if there happens to be any bacteria in there, it starts to multiply, of course. And you know, the first couple of hours it's not too bad, but after hours and hours, when bacteria multiply, of course, mitosis dividing in half. So one becomes two, two becomes four, and that's not so bad. But when you get a bunch of them there, and they're doubling every 30 minutes or so, you can see where there might be a chance for some growth there. And you would think also that with something like this, like the acid environment in our stomach would say, oh, it would take care of a lot of these things. And in many cases, it does. Issue comes with that, of course, our stomach, very, very acidic environment, very low on the pH scale. But once there's food in there, of course, that pH rises. It gets more neutral. Sometimes if there's proteins or fats present, the food that has a salmonella, it kind of protects the bug from being destroyed. So a lot of there are strains that, of course, are resistant. So I always thought, well, okay, we put a little lemon juice, and we do it oftentimes with fruit so they don't oxidize. Also for flavor, a little bit of acid on the outside would help. But for the most part, the big thing is, you know, in cutting fruit, I know sometimes, you know, you don't want all the waste and, oh, I don't need a whole melon, I just need a half of one. But seriously, if you're, you know, with the problems that are arising out there, it's best to cut your fruit right before you're going to consume it. Today, of course, we've got spring coming up, and I'd like to talk a little bit about strawberries today. Make some nice desserts for Easter or for any time, and also the perfect complement to strawberries, of course, is cream. So we'll explore I think that's the difference. Pudding, pastry cream, creme anglaise, panna cotta, sauvignon, all kind of related, but used for different things. So hopefully berries and cream would be a good topic for today. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at the table. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here. So strawberries. Actually, the first thing I picked on the farm, harvesting. They let us. I guess they had gotten the main ones out, and you could would pick your own. We got 10 cents a quart for picking strawberries. And the tough thing is, as a teenager, 14 years old, you're out there. You get a little hungry and start eating the berry. You got to try to keep ahead of the hunger. You're not really making too much money if you keep eating them. But we would have to go through, and strawberries are best picked every day. It's one of those things. Try to do a mass harvesting with them. Back then, you just went over the fields. A lot of them, of course, ripened at the same time. But as the time went on, of course, it took a little bit more work to get the last of them. You know, we had, growing up, sometimes my father would plant strawberries, and he would use these circular beds, I guess you could call them. I think they were probably just like folded aluminum. What happened is you got three levels. So you got a big circle, and what would happen is you could run a hose from the outside up through the stack. So you have some rocks in there, obviously, but then you have soil. And the hose came out the top level. So you had imagine like a three-tier cake. You've got a big level and then a mid and then a smaller one. So you could reach all the berries. You didn't have to walk. It saved a lot of space, for one thing. And you could see everything ripening at once. So this hose came out the top with a sprinkler on it so you could water the berries very gently. Just would just shoot the water up in the air to come down like a little bit of rain. And you don't, with any fruits, we think rain is a farmer's friend, but sometimes too much rain is not good. You get too much growth. You get, if it's too moist and warm, you get fungus. Other things can happen to go wrong. But we always, we would, you know, harvest, of course, enjoy them nightly. And then extra ones, of course, were either frozen or made into a jam or preserves. Always a good way to save the harvest, right? But even just freezing them, I know I've bought IQ up individual quick frozen strawberries. And if they're picked at their prime ripeness and just frozen, they're a little soft. They lose a little bit of texture, but for making a sauce or a glaze or something like that, works very well. New World fruit strawberries came from this hemisphere and back to France, where they were kind of bred into a nice. Of course, the big nice thing is the wild berries, the small ones, very tasty. Normally, your smaller berries have very good flavor to them. You know, they're little runners that shoot out from the plants. And just like pruning grapevines to get a more intense flavor in the grape, you would cut these runners so more of the strength of the plant would go into fewer berries but better berries. I know on a day like today on the farm when it was raining and we couldn't really, you know, you can't get the tractors into the field and things, the owner would give us each a poncho and a little two-prong implement that then we would go out and weed the strawberry fields. He didn't use pesticides, herbicides rather. We would go out there and any, you know, weeds that would be damaging, we were told which ones to look for, and we'd pull them right out by the roots and get rid of them. So we didn't have that growth. And that was, it's the way we did it in the 60s. Lots changed since then. But that was the rainy day task, and this morning kind of reminded me of that. China produces a lot of strawberries, the biggest producer, but a lot of those are frozen ones. And, you know, frozen, you have to watch your source because of how they're processed. Other countries may not have as tight a regulation, even though we think there's, you know, problems happening with our food supply. We have a safe, fairly safe and pretty well regulated food supply. Just like, you know, when fruit's washed or hydro-cooled in the field, you know, what's the water that's being used? So when you're washing fruit, of course, fresh water, good water is always the best thing to do. And with strawberries, you really don't want to wash them until right before you're going to use them, just like I said, the other fruits. Not because of any dangers, but it's just the texture. You always leave the stem on, and even when you're picking them, it's best to leave a little bit of the stem. And then right before you're going to consume them, you would rinse them off and then remove there's a little tool for the removing the hull there, the little stem and the leaves that are left. And then if they're large berries, you slice them. If you're making a shortcake or a sauce or anything, obviously you like to slice them. You want to have that cut area. A little bit of sugar will kind of extract some of the juice. When you're sugaring the berries, of course, always taste them first. Sometimes you might not need that much sugar. Many of our desserts end up being too sweet. But strawberries, always good fruit, packed with good nutrients. Some of you might remember the Big Boy restaurants in Syracuse. It was TJ's, but different regions of the country, they would call them the Big Boy would be a different name. And I think they were the ones that came up with that, McDonald's, the Big Mac, the Twin Burger. I know when it was at school, it was called a Twin Burger. The two smaller patties on a three-decker bun. I think they're the ones that came up with that. But anyway, they used to have a strawberry pie, and it was so simple. It was just a baked pie shell with a whole bunch of strawberries in it. But they had this red glaze on it, or it was almost like a gelatin. And I think the original recipe was probably just sugar and water and red food coloring, it could have been. I mean, it was not, fancy cuisine. But the glaze, the secret of that is you have, of course, that liquid is hot. You've got to thicken with the cornstarch, and then you cool it just enough to be able to pour over and cover the berries. Of course, it would protect them, but you don't want it so hot that it cooks the berries. Then you end up with the mushy texture. So when you're doing anything like with a fruit glaze, currant jelly or apricot gel, you always want to make sure it's not really piping hot. But this was just strawberries with this gel and then the whipped cream, and it was called strawberry pie. There is a way to make that. I mean, you're still thickening it with cornstarch, but instead of red food coloring, I like a little currant jelly to kind of give it some flavor and, of course, some gel. Another way is to use strawberry gelatin. You can see some people that kind of hack recipes, right? So the strawberry gelatin seems to be the best one. Of course, you're putting strawberry flavor in there. You've got the coating, and when it sets up, of course, you've got the nice firm gel. So for a 9-inch pie, and we'd like this with a regular pie crust that's what we call blind baked. So it's pre-baked. It's not, you're not going to cook this pie afterwards. And you pack a lot of strawberries in there. You can cut them or do them whole. The big thing is maybe with your lesser ones, you could, on the bottom of the pie, you can have some cut ones. But you always saw a lot of nice whole strawberries. So if you say for a 9-inch pie, you've got a cup and a half of water, 3/4 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, and then a 3-ounce packet of strawberry gelatin. And what you do is, have the cornstarch and sugar with the water, mix it together, bring it to a boil so it thickens, and then take it off the heat and stir in the strawberry gelatin, just like if you're usually when you make jello, you heat the water, or using gelatin leaves or anything, you warm the water and let the gelatin soften in there, and then once it's cool enough so it won't cook the berries, you have your berries all piled up in the pie crust there. And for 9-inch, you can use 4 cups. You use a lot of strawberries. You want this piled high. And then pour the glaze over it, chill it well, and then you're ready to serve. But that's the old Big Boys straight strawberry pie. Next, we're going to get into strawberries and cream. So we're going to look at the difference between pastry cream and creme anglaise. Somewhere in between lies puddings and even a sauvignon. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We've been booming. Absolutely booming.
It's Tax Day 2019, and National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow says Americans have a lot to be thankful for.
The economy's growing. Unemployment is down. Blue-collar wage earners are growing faster than their white-collar counterparts.
Kudlow was speaking on Fox and Friends. Severe weather over the weekend leading to the deaths of at least 8 people in the South. Nearly 24 tornadoes reported in several states. There was some snow on the northern side of the system. It was recorded from Missouri into Michigan. Chicago got about 5 inches, the most for that city this late in the season since 1961. Some of that bad weather is now affecting the Northeast, including Boston, where runners from around the world have begun the 123rd Boston Marathon. This is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to or makes squealing noises when you brake, shop the Spring Brake Deal Savings Event at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors and get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Don't miss the Spring Brake Deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Chef Bill's table here. So, strawberries and cream, right? Simplest thing. And you have some nice ripe berries, of course. Nothing better than just add a little bit of sugar to draw some juice out. Of course, there's strawberry shortcake and all those good things. Shortcake we think of more as in the summer. The classic strawberries Romanoff. So you've got a couple of cups of berries. And these would be great with the small... If you can find wild ones, strawberries, blueberries, of course, cultivated blueberries that were developed in Jersey. Most of these you're growing wild. How do we domesticate the fruit? And we were able to do it. Same with the strawberries. But 2 cups of berries, just a tablespoon of sugar. This one we're adding orange to, so a teaspoon of orange zest and a tablespoon of orange juice. And you're going to let the berries macerate in this. Now, in addition to or in lieu of the orange juice, if you wanted to use, of course, Grand Marnier is the classic in fancy restaurants, but Curacao, Triple Sec, any orange liqueur would work. A couple of tablespoons of that. And you're going to let the berries soak in there, soak up that nice orange flavor, and then you're going to use either creme fraiche or some lightly sweetened whipped cream. So right before service, you'll drain the berries and kind of, you could serve them with just the cream on top. You could fold them together if you like. I mean, you think of the variations on that, the English trifle with the fruit and the cake and the custard. Another simple one that if you like that the Savillon, and that's basically a custard, and it's just egg yolks and sugar and Marsala wine. And Savillons can be made with other types of liquors. You could make a savory one for seafood. It's a light sauce. Basically, you do a nice proportion thing with this, too. You need, for every egg yolk, you need a tablespoon of super fine sugar and about 1 ounce of Marsala or some other kind of sweet wine, if you like. And you'll blend the yolks and the sugar together so they're nice and creamy. Then these we are going to thicken over a hot water bath, boiling, simmering water. Use a stainless steel bowl, and with a wire whisk, you want the nice balloon whisk, just like for whipping cream. You'll add the wine to the yolk and sugar blend and whisk it over the heat until the yolks start to cook a little bit. Now, you don't want to scramble the eggs. You don't want it too high. You get practiced at it. I know sometimes maitre d' is doing a table side over a very low flame. I like to do it when I'm dealing with egg yolks, whether it's for a hollandaise or for a savion, I use a steel bowl, and I use my bare hands. So I'm holding the bowl over the flame or the water. If the bowl gets too hot to touch, that means it's too hot. It's going to curdle the egg yolk. Once the egg yolk curdles, it's very difficult to strain it out. So you really, temperature control is prime importance. When you're whisking this, of course, it's going to increase in volume. And oftentimes it's served warm with the fresh fruit. Or it can be chilled and blended with some whipped cream to make lighten it up a little bit. And use it as a kind of a mousse. Actually, you could make a, you could freeze it and have a nice sablion ice cream if you want. So pastry cream and creme anglaise, what's the difference? Big difference is the starch. Both use dairy, some milk and heavy cream, and sugar, a little bit of vanilla. Now, if you like vanilla beans, of course, you'd scald the milk, put the scraped beans in there, and then strain it. You don't really want the flecks in there. If the recipe calls for a vanilla bean, generally figure about a teaspoon of vanilla extract. We like the pure vanilla extract. You can always add a little bit if you need it, or if you like a liqueur. But the vanilla seems to work the best, and you can always add other things. Vanilla will complement anything. So for a cup of milk, half cup of heavy cream, and you want whole milk for this, not the 2%, teaspoon of vanilla, 5 egg yolks from large eggs, and a third of a cup of sugar. Probably want a pinch of salt in there. So up to this point, the recipes are the same. The creme anglaise, of course, we would blend the yolks and sugar together. We're going to heat the milk a little bit. Temping the egg yolk mixture is the tough part. You don't want to add a lot of hot milk to the egg yolks or add the yolks directly to a lot of hot milk because they will curdle. So in your bowl, you have the egg yolk mixture. You add a little bit of the milk mixture. And if you're unsure, you can actually let it cool off a little bit. You don't want it ice cold because you're going to have to heat it again anyway. But add some of the warm milk, a little bit in there, so it brings the temperature of the egg yolks and sugar up, kind of starts to dissolve that sugar. Then you'll add this mixture back to the warm dairy mixture, and it has to go over, the best way is over a double boiler. With this, this is delicate. There's no starch in it. The thickening is going to come just from the egg yolks. So finish it over a double boiler, and when the recipe says thicken up to coat the back of a spoon, what you do is you put the spoon in and then run your finger across the back of the spoon. If it leaves a streak there that doesn't kind of flow back together, then you've reached thick enough. If you over thicken, of course, again, the egg yolks will curdle. You'll have scrambled eggs, and trust me, it's impossible to. You can try straining it, but those curds are pretty small. You'll get best to start over. So that's creme anglaise, and that's considered more of a sauce. Like many classical recipes, it's the base of other things. So your creme anglaise, as it is, you can chill it. That would be. The base for the classic would be the floating islands. So you have your yolks for the sauce, and then you make your whip your egg whites with a little bit of sugar and poach them, and you have these nice fluffy clouds sitting on the creme anglaise. Always orange is a good flavor to put in here, but any kind of liqueur or even extract, if you like. Extracts are, of course, a lot higher alcohol, and you don't need so much of it, but if you don't have the liqueurs on hand, there's always ways to. You've got orange, lemon, almond. There's many extracts out there you could use to flavor this sauce. So again, this creme anglaise is a sauce and a base for other flavored sauces. Now, the pastry cream, which is a little sturdier, and this is, of course, for a base for fillings, and It's kind of like, all right, do I use pastry cream or do I use pudding? You know, what's the difference? If you make pastry cream, definitely richer than a pudding. You've got more egg yolks. So we have all our same ingredients, your cup of milk and your half cup of cream, your sugar, the five egg yolks, but you have 3 tablespoons of cornstarch. You'll see some recipes may call for flour. Flour is okay, but I think, you know, the cornstarch, you don't get that starchy mouthfeel to it. It's a little bit cleaner, and it thickens right away. As soon as the mixture simmers, the cornstarch does its thickening thing. So you have to you scald the milk. Now you can mix the cornstarch with your sugar and your egg yolks. You'll scald the milk. Don't have to boil it. And then, again, temp this mixture here. You don't want to add a whole bunch of hot milk to the egg yolks. And also your cornstarch, if you add hot liquid, of course, it just gets little lumps. You want actually to be a little cooler. Alternately, you could have your cornstarch and sugar and just dissolve that into the milk and cream and let that thicken also. Either way, you could do it. So you have your yolks, so you temp the egg yolks, get them back into the mixture, and then now this you're going to use over low heat. We like to stir. The best thing is a wooden spoon. If you use a whisk, you don't really want to incorporate a lot of air into this, and metal on metal sometimes, you don't want, especially if it's aluminum, you don't want things scraping off into the mixture. So the wooden spoon is nice. And again, just when the surface starts to break with a little bubble, you can check the thickness again, the back of the spoon coating it. Don't want to overdo it because then again you're going to have that curdled egg yolk. But this way you've got the thickening power of starch and egg yolks. So this pastry cream is a stronger mixture, meaning is if you're going to line a pie shell with it or a fruit tart, which would be the classic, you let the mixture cool off a little bit, but you still want to be able to pour it. And then you can line your blind-baked pie shell, or you could use puff pastry. And then after spreading the pastry cream around, you can just then place your fresh fruit on top. Now, I've used to make, think of a banana cream pie. You know, the quick way to do it, you take some instant, you know, vanilla or banana pudding, and you don't have to cook it. You don't have to worry about, you know, cooking the bananas with hot liquid. Bananas stay nice and bright colored. The texture stays good. And that's a quick way, making with instant. You have to, of course, add it before that starch thickens up. That's just a different food starch that doesn't need cooking to thicken. It just needs the liquid. So I don't know, you know, better or not as good. So I think the pastry cream is richer because you've got the egg yolks in there. So with this, again, the temperature, you let it cool a little bit, but if you're going to line a pastry case with it, then you would want it to at least be pourable. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll talk more about what we can do with this pastry cream and this creme anglaise and make our desserts for spring, strawberries and cream.
Listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Chef Phil's table here, WHCR-DV, Chamber Radio. Okay, so pastry cream, creme anglaise. So with pastry cream, again, we have this base, and you can lighten it up with a little bit of whipped cream if you like. Once it gets firm, of course, again, you're folding things to two different textures. If you've got chilled pastry cream, you would add a little bit of whipped cream to lighten that mixture, and then you can add that mixture back to the whipped cream so you have consistent texture and appearance there. But your pastry cream that's what you fill cream puffs and eclairs with. And if you taste it, if you like it nice and custardy, nice and rich, of course, then don't stretch it out with whipped cream. And oftentimes the cream puffs you're putting, you know, whipped cream on top anyway. So the pastry cream also is, say, for a banana cream pie. And I was watching the other day, Chef was making, I think it was Emerald, was making, he's a banana graham cracker crust. And he stacks it up pretty high. It's got a very, very strong pastry cream because this thing is piled up. So I think they use a little extra starch in the pastry cream. And it's good. It's got the nuts and the chocolate and everything. What we would do is use a baked regular pastry, pie pastry, instead of the graham cracker. And line it with the pastry cream. You have your sliced bananas. Best to cover with pastry cream also. You don't want the bananas oxidizing. Oh, and here's another tip, too. When you're chilling down pastry cream or creme anglaise, you'd like to put plastic wrap right on the surface of it because the casing from the scalded milk, it'll form, the proteins form kind of a little bit of skin on there, and you know, the texture of that isn't as good. Then you got to scrape it off. You lose some. Another old way was as the mixture is hot, just a little bit of butter spread over the top, and then, of course, that oil keeps the air from letting the skin form. But you do want to cover it so that it doesn't get that protein skin on it. With pastry cream, again, you can flavor it. You can flavor it with chocolate, which you would do after you've temped the egg yolks and everything. You can, and the chocolate will help thicken it up, too. Good bittersweet chocolate. Some grated chocolate to melt in there, just kind of like this here. If you're making a ganache, you've got the hot pastry cream. Let the chocolate kind of melt, stir it in there, and you've got chocolate pastry cream. for a banana cream pie. So we'd have the pie shell, the bananas, the custard, and then, of course, you whipped cream. But then on the top, crushed sugar frosted flakes make a nice topping on top of the whipped cream. And then some shaved chocolate curls. So that whole, you know, chocolate, that crunch, though, the sweet crunch frosted flakes make a nice topping for that banana cream pie. And a strawberry tart, too. You know, if you like that little sweet crunch on there, almonds are always nice, too. Almonds complement strawberries very well. But a classic puff pastry tart. Some people like the tarts with a short pastry, kind of almost like a shortbread. We talked about the regular pie crust, the old big boys, but puff pastry, a little more elegant. You can make little cases with the, you can, and puff pastry, good frozen product out there. Just make sure it doesn't have any ice crystals in it. But you can make little, you know, circular tarts if you like, or rectangles. And what we do is you're oven at 375, so your sheet of puff pastry, you can usually make two, what we'll call cassettes out of them, rectangles. You take some of the outside, you trim off a little bit, like half an inch, and you make a little rim around the rectangle. You just brush it with water and put the little strips on there. So you're going to have, the outside is going to be a little bit higher than the base. You'll dock or use a fork to prick the puff pastry in the middle so it doesn't rise too much. The tines of a fork, you can kind of do all around the outside so the pastry stays together. You'll paint the hole with egg wash, which would be a one egg yolk or one egg to a tablespoon of water. Make sure it's blended pretty well. But just brush the top and the inside. Don't get the outside too much with the egg wash. You want the pastry to rise. But these cassettes in a 375 degree oven for about 20 minutes. You should have a little nice container for a tart or a bar, I guess you'd call it. It's a rectangle. Once the puff pastry is out of the oven, of course, now you've spread your pastry cream in there, and you can let it chill down, and then put your fruit, whether it's strawberries, any kind of fruit would really work well on this. Place your fruit right on top of the pastry cream, and then if you want to glaze it, a little bit of currant jelly, maybe, you know, half a cup of currant jelly, and you can thin it with a little bit of water, but you just melt this over low heat, be able to brush it over the fruit, gives it that, it kind of protects it, gives it a nice the nice sheen, plus you've got the flavor. I know when glazing even cheesecakes, we used to use apricot preserves. They're nice and clear. And when you melt those preserves, of course, with the pectin and the high sugar, it's liquidy enough to spread on the fruit. And then, of course, as it chills, it firms up. I know for pastry presentations, oftentimes we would glaze the fruit just to keep it from drying out. Up. So strawberries or whatever kind of berries, other that's what's coming, of course, early in the year. Strawberries usually, and raspberries. Raspberries are nice if you can find them. They would work for these blueberries, of course, later on in the season. Peaches always work once they come into play. So there's many things you can do with this fruits and cream. You know, some other relatives of this, again, pudding. Some puddings are made with no eggs. It's just the sugar and the starch, the dairy, flavoring. doesn't necessarily, puddings can contain some egg, just not as much, it's not as rich. But think of, you've seen desserts called panna cotta, which is cooked cream, or blancmange, the French nice milk and cream mixture, and heat it up with a starch, and then put in a mold shape. It's thickened enough so we can, you know, you cut little hearts out of it, or it's a, you know, firmer, like a custard that's been chilled down. And we've had the one with the Savillon with no dairy in it. And you've got things that are, you know, you could have with no egg if you want. If you don't want flour, of course, cornstarch is the better use. All different variations of this. And again, served with fruit or chocolate, other flavorings work pretty well. We're going to wind down the show and move on. We'll be back next week. Who knows what topic? Hopefully, we can get some good weather here and get some planting. We need the, gotta get the New Jersey, gotta get those tomatoes in the ground. I know people that even like to start their own gardens there. Everybody's kind of holding back because it's, you know, it's still a little wet and still a little chilly at night. But hang in there, enjoy. We'll talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Actress Lori Loughlin and her husband are pleading not guilty to charges stemming from a massive college cheating scandal. According to a document filed a short time ago in Boston federal court, Loughlin and her fashion designer husband will plead not guilty on federal fraud and money laundering charges. The two are accused of paying $500,000 in bribes to get her kids into USC. They face hefty fines and prison time. Millions of people in the Northeast are now in the path of a storm system blamed for at least 8 fatalities in the South over the weekend. That system is currently threatening at least a half dozen states, including the New York City tri-state area. Seismologists are reporting an earthquake measuring 4.2 magnitude in northern Sonoma County, California, early this morning. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
more Democratic candidates get off the fence and officially into the field over the weekend, including Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell, who says he's running for the White House in 2020.
I've got you, we've got each other, and we can do this.
Same goes for South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
When something is grotesque, it's hard to look away. And the horror show in Washington is mesmerizing. It's all-consuming. But starting today, we're going to change the channel.
Senate Democrat Cory Booker also kicked off his campaign back on Saturday. An FBI-linked breach has led to the identities and personal info of thousands of people being published online. The names, jobs, and email addresses of over 23,000 people were released last week. Some of the identities even include people being watched by the FBI. It's tax day, 2019.